Whenever I go into a store and someone asks me, can I help you find something? Can I help you find what you're looking for? I almost always respond the same way. So I say, oh, no thanks, I'm just looking. I might be looking for something specific, but I really don't want them to bother me or to help me. I want to find it on my own. Sometimes I have no idea what I'm looking for. I really just am there to look and meander and wander around and see what I find. And sometimes I say it because I really just want them to leave me alone and let me do what I'm going to do. This morning, I'm going to take a risk and be a little bit like those store clerks. I want to ask you this morning, what are you looking for? What are you looking for in life? You might be tempted to respond the same way I respond. You might want to say, well, I'm just looking. But deep down, every single one of us is looking and seeking and searching for something. We might not be able to name it and identify it, but all of us in this life are looking for something. We're looking for the good life. We're looking for a life filled with joy and good experiences. Maybe we're looking for purpose. We feel like we're just kind of muddling through life and wish that we could find something that would help make sense of our circumstances and what we're going through. Maybe we're looking for meaningful relationships. We're hoping and looking for love, or that someone or some friend could come into our life and help give us some meaning. Maybe we're searching for the truth, that everywhere we're looking and trying to find it in a world filled with conspiracies, fake news, and lies. Just want to know what's true. Or maybe you're just looking to stay alive and make it to the next day because life is difficult and full of pain. And you can't even imagine trying to look for something else right now. All of us are looking for something. And what I want to tell you this morning, really what this whole sermon about, is that what all of us are looking for is found in the risen body of Jesus Christ. And so this is the Sunday. This is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, where we remember and we celebrate the fact, the belief, and the hope that Jesus was truly, historically, and miraculously raised from the dead. And he is the answer of what we were looking for. So if you have a Bible, if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 23, we're going to start in verse 50. We're going to go all the way to 12 in the next chapter. And if you would stand with me, if you are able, for the reading of God's word. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was a member of the council, a good and righteous man who had not consented to their decision and action. And he was looking for the kingdom of God. And this man went to Pilate, and he asked for the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in the tomb cut in stone, where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw him, the tomb, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and on the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told them these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. The grass withers and the flower fades, but God's word stands forever. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you'll be here this morning, that your spirit would come and you would open our hearts and open our ears. Help us to hear from your word this morning. Help us to be encouraged and help us to see that the risen Jesus is the fulfillment of all of our hopes and all of our dreams. Pray these things in your name. Amen. You can take a seat. If you're taking notes in your bulletin, point number one is that we need to look for the kingdom. That we need to seek the kingdom. You know, again, all of us are looking for something, but what we should be looking for is the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is where the good life is found. At the beginning of our story, there's a man who's looking for the kingdom. In verse 50, we're introduced to him. His name is Joseph. He's from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He's a member of the council, and he's a good and righteous man. The place that he's from is a small town near Ramah, which is where Jacob's wife Rachel was buried, if you were with us on Wednesday. And he's a member of the religious elite. He's one of the Pharisees. But unlike them, he's not a hypocrite. He's not a legalist. He is good and righteous. It seems like he is a follower of Jesus. We see more in 51, he has not consented to their decision and their action because he was looking for the kingdom of God. It appears he's on the council that decided to kill Jesus, but he wasn't on board with that decision. The other gospels tell us, you know, the council all decided to do this, so we don't know if he was in the room, but he just got outvoted. Maybe he was the only voice of dissent, or maybe they knew, well, he's sympathetic to Jesus. Let's make this decision when Joseph's out of town. One of the keys to understanding Joseph, and I think one of the keys to understanding how Luke presents the story of the resurrection, is in the description of Joseph. He's described as someone who is looking for the kingdom of God. He's totally different than the other members of the council were. They were searching for power, and he was looking for the truth. They assumed that they spoke for God, but Joseph was trying to hear God's real voice. He was looking for the good life. He wanted to know if God's kingdom really could be fully here on earth. He wanted and expected the kingdom to come, even though it didn't look like the kingdom that he expected it to be. He was willing to consider Jesus. He was willing to listen to Jesus. Even though much of the time Jesus was preaching against him, even though Jesus was challenging the very conception that he had of reality, even though if Jesus was right, it meant that he was wrong and his whole life was going to have to change, he was still willing to look and to seek the kingdom. Now, we don't know fully if he was a disciple of Jesus. He might have just been a secret disciple of Jesus. At the very least, he was really sympathetic to Jesus. He was deeply considering Jesus. He was seeking. 52 says, this man went to Pilate and he asked for the body of Jesus. This seems to us like a normal request. Might seem to us he's just asking for the honor of being the one who gets to make the funeral arrangements. This is not that kind of request. This is actually a dangerous request. Because victims of crucifixion, they don't normally get buried well. The entire point of being executed in that way was the shame and the public nature of it. After people died on the cross, they would stay there to rot and decay. Eventually, maybe they'll take the body down and they'll dump it in a mass grave with others. So Joseph is asking for something that Rome almost always says no to. He's going to publicly out himself. He's going to be publicly identifying himself as a disciple of Jesus. He might have been able to hide it before. Might have been able to pretend he's just interested and open, skeptical. But in doing this and in taking this step, everyone's going to know the truth and it's going to be costly. But he does it because he's looking for the kingdom of God, and it's a step of faith. 52, and he takes Jesus' body down and he wraps it in a linen shroud. And he lays him in a tomb cut in stone where no one ever had yet been laid. So he takes care of and cares for Jesus' dead body. Which shows us, too, sometimes we forget, Jesus' body was hanging on the cross for a while after he died. Many hours. He takes care to wrap him in love and devotion, so Jesus was not left on the cross to rot. And he wasn't buried in an unmarked grave in the ground. He wasn't dumped in a mass grave. He was buried in a nice tomb with care. Usually, tombs would get reused frequently. Put the body in there for a while, and as it decays, you move it higher up on a shelf, or you do something else with it. But Jesus is buried by himself, and when he goes into the tomb, it's empty, and when he leaves, it's going to be empty again forevermore. 54 tells us this was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. So they need to be preparing for the Sabbath. This is significant, too. They're running out of time. The coming of the Sabbath is like a ticking clock, because when the sun goes down, they all need to be inside, and they need to not be doing any work. Burying, caring for the dead is work. They need to hurry. So part of what's going on here, too, is not just that the ticking clock that is going. I think Luke is doing something more theologically significant as well. Hebrews chapter 4 reminds us that the Sabbath is just a foreshadowing of the true and eternal rest that comes through Jesus. And the true rest we find in the kingdom of God. We are to rest on the Sabbath day in anticipation for one day our eternal rest really will come. Well, Jesus has died, and Jesus is going to come back. That true rest is coming, and the true Sabbath is getting ready to begin. The Sabbath that will bring rest and peace for every weary soul throughout all of eternity is getting ready to shine. 55, the women who had come with him from Galilee, so they've been with Jesus for a long time, are following, and they see the tomb, they see how his body was laid, and they return and prepare spices and ointments. The women are following from a distance. They're probably watching Joseph to see what he's going to do. I doubt that they were getting to be in the room with Joseph and Pilate to find out their discussion. They don't know what was said. They might not know what Joseph's plan is to do with Jesus' body, and so they're following and watching to make sure that his body's going to be cared for well. And they see that Joseph cared for it. He put him in the tomb. He wrapped him, but Joseph's running out of time. We didn't have time to do a full and proper burial with all the ointments and all the spices. And you use those to care for the body and to get rid of the stench as it decays. So on the Sabbath, they rest according to the commandment. They go back and they wait, and they rest, and they rest waiting and preparing to come back in the morning at dawn and care for Jesus. I think here what we need to see from this first section is all of us need to be looking for the kingdom like Joseph. We need to be willing to take a step of faith and a risk, and we need to be willing to do more than just think about Jesus, but take a step and follow him, even when we don't know where it's going to go. We don't know where it's going to end up. So all of us are looking for something, but we need to be looking for the kingdom of God. We need to be looking for the truth. We need to be looking for the kingdom that is coming into our own world. And whether you recognize it or not, whether you see it or not, whether you expect it or not, the kingdom of God is coming. And the kingdom of God is already here among us. Joseph and the women at this point thought the kingdom of God was over and that they missed it. Jesus is dead. We have to go find something else now. They didn't realize that the resurrection was coming. And the kingdom's coming sooner than they expect. So we should seek the kingdom. Point number two, if you're taking notes, is that we need to seek the living king. We need to seek the living king. The angels, they tell the women right when they come, they ask one of my favorite questions here. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? I think this is the main question of the section, that we shouldn't seek the dead. The dead don't have any power. The dead don't have a voice anymore. The dead can't touch our world. They can't speak to us. But the living can. Jesus was dead, but now he is alive. And as followers of Jesus, we worship the God who lives. We worship the God who was crucified, but who was resurrected. We do not worship the dead. We don't worship an old, forgotten wise man who taught us some good things, but he died and decayed, and now we hope he was on to something. Our holy book is not filled with ancient wisdom that's unfit for a modern world. Our faith is not that something has to change with every new invention or every new insight because, well, everything that we used to believe was written by dead men and it's old. Our faith was written and it is built on the living God. The idea that Jesus is resurrected and he is alive. Our faith rests on the belief and the hope that Jesus really is alive right now. Don't seek out a dead faith. Don't seek out dead wisdom. We need to seek the living King. Look at the story of resurrection in verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they prepared. As soon as they're able, as soon as the first sun, ray of the sun creeps out, they are prepared and they go towards this tomb. They go towards the dead body of Jesus, and they go there with failing hope and failing faith. They probably go just hoping to find some closure. But in 2, they go and they find the stone rolled away from the tomb. When they went in, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. When they get there, they're confused. The stone that covers it's been rolled away, and they're shocked. This doesn't make any sense. They've gotten here as early as physically possible. No one should have been able to beat them. And if they did, they still would be there. They don't see the body. They know the body was just there. They know they're at the right tomb. They're looking around. They're confused. And four, while they're still perplexed, they're trying to figure out what in the world is happening. Two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they're frightened and they bow their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" These angels appear to explain what's happening. In response, they fall down on their faces and they're frightened, which is how all of us should respond if an angel appears to you. And the angels ask the question, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are you looking for Jesus in a tomb?" 6, he's not here. He is risen. Jesus is alive. He was dead, but he's not dead anymore. Jesus broke the power of sin and death and has returned resurrected. Jesus has broken the chains of death and he is risen. Jesus is not a dead God. Jesus is a living God. He is not just a God who is alive, but he is a God who is risen. He is a God who has tasted death on our behalf and came back. And Jesus did not just return in resurrection so that he could show off how powerful that he is as God. Jesus came back in resurrection so that all of us one day after our own deaths could come back in resurrection with him if we put our faith in Jesus. And his resurrection is proof that his sacrifice has been accepted on the cross. His resurrection proves that we can have salvation. His resurrection proves that we can be forgiven and made new. Verse 6, the angels tell them, "Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And on the third day rise." They say, Jesus told you this was going to happen. See, Jesus is not surprised by his resurrection. He planned it. He tried to tell his disciples over and over from the very beginning of his ministry years ago, "Hey guys, I'm going to die. They're going to crucify me. I'm going to be buried. 3 days later, I'm going to come back." But they never understood it. They never got it. They thought, okay, he must not mean this literally. There must be some kind of, you know, more spiritual, fancy understanding he's getting at. I don't get it. Or they were too busy arguing with one another about who the greatest was, that they weren't listening to what Jesus was saying. Angels is trying to nudge them and say, "Jesus told you this was going to happen. You need to remember." And they remember his words. They finally remember. The light bulb goes on. They think back, "Oh yeah, Jesus did say that. Oh yeah, Jesus said that more than once. He told us this was going to happen. If this was a movie and you were filming it, this is where you put all the flashbacks and you just show all those times that Jesus said this." It's one of my favorite parts of the movie. When there's a big twist in the reveal and then you go back and you see all these breadcrumbs and all these things that, oh, now that you know, it's so obvious. It was right in front of me. Why didn't I see it the whole time? The resurrection of Jesus was right there in front of them the entire time, but they didn't see it. But now they do. And now they remember and now they get it. And just like the women here who remember the words of Jesus and believe, we too need to remember. There's a big temptation that we all have on Easter. Preachers have the temptation on Easter that we need to like say something new. We need to say something like really exciting, do something different, you know. Or maybe I need to talk about something more important or more relevant or more in the news, speaking to our current moment. Or we have the temptation, well, yeah, okay, I've heard this a lot. I've been to a lot of Easter services. I hope, you know, do something different. Tickle my ears, entertain me a little more. I've heard this story before. But the problem is that all of us, like Jesus' disciples, forget. Jesus told them repeatedly he was going to die. When the moment came, they were shocked. Jesus told us over and over, and we've been told over and over, Jesus died and he was resurrected. But our lives get busy. Things come up. We suffer. We face pain, and they distract us, and we forget that Jesus has been raised from the dead. We forget that he lives even now. We forget that Jesus is alive. We forget that Jesus loves you now, today. He didn't just love you 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross. He actively loves you today, now, in this moment. We forget that salvation is available to all of us, and so we need to seek the living King. We need to seek the King who is alive. And by seek what's living too, I mean that we need to seek what brings eternal, true life. We don't just need to seek what makes us feel better or what seems to work. We need to seek what can really bring and breathe life into our weary bones. Most of the things that we are tempted to seek in this life are dead. We can be tempted to seek out drugs and the promise of the high that they bring, but they're dead and they only bring death. We can be tempted to seek out alcohol or any other substances and the goodness that they promise, but they can only bring death. We can seek out entertainment and joy and hope. Whatever it is, the next thing we find, it can make us happy. Or the next video we scroll on or the thing that we see maybe can bring us a little semblance of joy in life, but it can only bring death. We seek relationships or love, hoping those people will complete us. We can seek so many other things, hoping they will bring us life. You know, we mock those ancient people before us who made gods out of rocks and stone. We think how foolish it is. Most people today, though, we worship glass and shiny lights and screens. And we spend our days staring at those, hoping they'll bring us life. We need to seek the living King, because Jesus is the only one who has the words of eternal life. Jesus is the only one who can bring us water that will quench our thirst. Jesus is the only one who can give us what we need to be truly and fully alive. Why do we seek the living among the dead? Point number three is we need to seek the true story. We need to seek the true story. There's many stories in the world. There's a lot of different narratives. I don't just mean like fiction or entertainment stories. I don't mean the stories we tell in our books or in our movies or television shows. I mean, there are many different stories that explain the world. There are different stories that tell us where do we come from as human beings and what is our purpose. Stories that tell us how we're supposed to treat one another or the direction the world is heading. Stories that explain the origin of the universe or where gods and religion came from. There's a lot of those stories. One of those stories is that there's no objective truth. We can think and we're free to do whatever we want as long as we don't hurt other people, because, you know, it doesn't really change anything, doesn't really affect anything, and nothing really matters anyway. It's a story that the Bible's got a bunch of mistakes, or maybe it was really good one time, but it's not much good anymore. We got better books now. There's many stories, especially in our individualistic age. Almost everyone has their own story, their own explanation, their own narrative that they tell themselves to explain the world. What all of us need to do is we need to seek out the true story. It's not enough to be content with our own understanding or the story that we've made up. We need to seek the truth. And the story of the resurrection of Jesus is not one of those stories. The story of Jesus' death and his resurrection is the true story that explains everything else in the world. And all of us need to be willing to seek the truth. Verse 9, returning from the tomb, they tell all these things to the 11, the other disciples, and all the rest. So the women return, and they are proclaiming the gospel and the resurrection. They're the first to share that Jesus has risen. They tell the other apostles, they tell the other disciples who are there. And it's interesting and significant. The apostles don't get to be the first people to proclaim the resurrection. They're not the first witnesses. They're not the first ones to tell somebody about it. These women are. And they believe the resurrection first. And 10, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women who told these things to the apostles. Three of the women are named specifically. They're honored in the gospel story for being the first to seek out and to find the truth. Mary Magdalene, one of the last times we found her, she was possessed by 7 demons. And Jesus saved her. And now here she is getting to find the resurrected Jesus. 11, but these words seemed to them an idle tale. And they didn't believe him. The women share the resurrection, but they're not believed. The disciples don't believe him. The story that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world and he's come back to life, it seems like a story. The Greek here, it's a little more colorful. A more fancy translation is it's more like the babbling of fools. This is the foolish chatter of women who don't know how to be quiet. After all, women aren't trustworthy. I mean, women aren't allowed to be witnesses at this point in time. If you were inventing this story, you would never choose women to be the first witness because no one would believe them. Women are too emotional. They're so obviously overcome by their grief. They must have been confused. They got it wrong. They went to the wrong place. The apostles, the men who really should know better, they don't listen. They don't want to seek the truth. They think this story is just an idle tale. But one of them does. One of them listens. Verse 12, but Peter rose and ran to the tomb. And stooping and looking, and he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Peter rises and runs. Peter immediately goes to seek the truth for himself. Now, I don't know what's going through Peter's mind. It doesn't tell us. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know if he believed or what he thought, but Peter wasn't content to just stay there and debate it. Peter wasn't content to just sit there and question the women and think about it. Peter wasn't content to just dismiss them and go back about his day. Peter went to find out the truth for himself. And Peter just doesn't do that eventually either. Okay, he rises and goes immediately. Peter says, oh, that's interesting. Jesus might be alive. Cool. Well, I'm going to put that on the back burner. I've got some other errands and things I got to get to today. Maybe I'll get around to thinking about that. You know, maybe if I have time, when I get to it. No, Peter immediately runs to go find out the truth. But there are many of us, or many people today that are like the apostles. They hear the gospel and they think, that's just the babbling of fools. That's just foolishness for weak minds. There's some who think, well, that sounds interesting. I'm not sure I believe it, but I'll think about it. Maybe eventually I'll think about it. But then they don't actually think about it. They don't really take time to discover it and run to seek out the truth. They just, like me at the store, I'm just looking. I remember I had a good friend in high school. He's always trying to convince me why Christianity was foolish and dumb and a waste of time. And he would try to talk to me about, it's so weird. You read your Bible all the time. Think so highly of it. And eventually I just kind of asked him, I was like, well, have you ever read it? You read it recently? Like, well, no. I was like, well, okay. Have you ever taken some time to study it? You got a lot of questions, a lot of good answers for why you think this is so dumb. Have you ever read any of the philosophers or theologians over the past 2,000 years who have written volumes upon volumes upon volumes of answers to the questions and the objections that you're bringing? You ever run to Jesus to find out if it's true yourself? Or do you just think it's an idle tale? We need to run to find out the truth. Peter runs. Peter goes, and he sees for himself when he gets there, the tomb is empty. Jesus has risen. Peter sees the clothes that he knows were wrapped around the body. They've now been unwrapped. They're folded up and set nicely down because Jesus doesn't need them anymore. He's alive. And then Peter goes home, and he marvels at the truth of what has happened. Now, why does Luke mention Peter, the only one here who goes to investigate for himself? I think it's because Peter, last time we saw him, at Jesus' trial, Jesus' arrest, was the one who denied Jesus. Peter was the one who failed. He said he would die for Jesus, and when Jesus was dying, Peter ran away and was nowhere to be found. Before Peter ran away in tears and shame, now Peter runs in joy and hope. Because of Jesus, and because Jesus is still alive, there is hope. If Jesus is alive, then everything he said is true. If Jesus really is alive, then there is redemption and there is forgiveness of sins. If Jesus really is alive, broken people can be restored. And if Jesus really is alive, Peter's story isn't going to end in embarrassment and failure. Peter's story will lead to restoration and will continue. Have you searched for the truth? Do you believe that Jesus really is alive? Or do you believe the resurrection is just an idle tale? The foolish women and weak minds. Listen, if the resurrection isn't true, Christianity is pretty dumb. I think there's another pastor I like, Jared Wilson, who says that Christianity is a really lame hobby if Jesus didn't really come back from the dead. If Jesus didn't come back from the dead, we're all wasting our time. There's a lot better things we could be doing today, like sleeping or literally anything. But if the story is true, then we ignore it. Jesus really did come back from the dead to offer us salvation and forgiveness and the kingdom. And we don't believe him, we are risking everything. I've staked my entire life on the truth of this story. put my entire life around the idea that Jesus really did come back from the dead? Do you seek the truth? Will you dare to run like Peter and find out for yourself if you're unsure if Jesus really is alive? Where have we been this morning? We need to seek the kingdom. We need to seek the living God, and we need to seek the true story and find the truth. Because the reality is that every single thing that you seek in your life is found in the risen and resurrected Jesus. There is nothing you can find in this life that is going to work for you. Most of the things that this life offers, it is like those cheap toys in gumball machines. You can buy one and get it, and it's nice. It might work once or twice, but then it's going to break, and you're going to feel cheated and want your money back. Everything here will fail us. They'll either fail you now, and you'll feel it, or they're going to fail you the day you stand before the risen and resurrected Jesus after your death. But the reason that Jesus died and was resurrected is because Jesus loves us. Because the risen Jesus is seeking us and running after us and chasing us. He came to offer and to bring us forgiveness for our sins. He came to fix what was broken. He came to restore us and to reconcile us. So come to Jesus and find the eternal Sabbath rest. Come to Jesus and find the forgiveness for your sins. Come to Jesus and find everything that you've been looking for. It's free. You don't have to write a big check and drop it in our box. You don't have to fill out a form. You don't got to do a lot of good things in order to earn it. Jesus did all of the work for us. And the grace of Jesus and the kingdom of God is available to anyone who comes to Jesus in faith. You just have to seek it. And if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're already a Christian, I want you to remember the empty tomb too. We do not believe an idle tale. We believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into the grave, and on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And he ascended into heaven and is seated now at the right hand of God the Father. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. That's what we believe. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Let us seek him. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that you are the risen God. I thank you that you are not just a story, that you are true, that your body really bled and died and was broken for us, and that your body really came back in the fullness of your power. Lord, would you help us to believe you? Would you help those who are here, who are seeking, who don't know? Lord, would you run to them? Would you give them the strength and help them to find you? Would you reveal yourself to them? Lord, those of us here who are followers of you, who know you, who love you, would help us to remember your resurrection. Would you help us not to forget? Would you help us not to be like the disciples and to doubt and to fail to believe? Would you help us not just once, but every day to continue to run to you and to remember and to believe the resurrection? We pray these things in the name of the living, the resurrected, victorious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Either a benediction from Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. God bless you. Go in the peace of the risen Savior.